Hey folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you gotta do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 or gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon, Just the News family. Hello, America, and welcome to a new edition of John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News, where we have big breaking news. We're going to break it on this show today. I like to do that sometimes. Joining us in just a few minutes is a Christian pastor, Pastor Jeff Durbin of Arizona, who is representing several hundred Navy SEALs. You heard that right. Several hundred Navy SEALs who have sought religious exemption to not get the vaccine, the COVID-19 vaccine. They have religious and other concerns about its safety and about its relevance to them. And they have been told that if they don't do so by this week, you ready for this? They're not going to be able to deploy with their SEAL teams anymore. Essentially, their SEAL careers are done. That is a big breaking story. And Pastor Durbin's account is confirmed by two lawyers who are representing many of these Navy SEALs. I've confirmed it there. I've also confirmed it with several operators themselves who acknowledge getting these letters and these communications. I've also heard from several advocates in the community. This is a big story. Why is it important? There's only about 2,500 Navy SEALs. They are the elite of the elitists, the best fighting warriors America has ever produced. They are the special operators right up there with the Green Berets and the Army Rangers. But the Navy SEALs do some of the most important dark missions, the things we never hear about, things like the bin Laden assassination when we were able to capture bin Laden and kill him in 2011. That was Navy SEAL Team 6, right? We all remember that. Movies have been made about it. This is a national crisis. If several hundred, a quarter, a third of available, deployable Navy SEALs are suddenly sidelined by the vaccine mandate. And what we're hearing is, we've heard this from several of the lawyers, many of these SEALs already had COVID. They've survived it. They have superior natural immunity in their blood. And yet they're still being asked to take a shot, and if not, to be sidelined. They don't want to give up on service of their country. And so they've reached out to this minister, Pastor Jeff Durbin, and several lawyers. You're going to hear from him in a story. We're going to break this story on Just the News in a little bit, but you're hearing it first on this podcast. John Solomon's report at Just the News. We're going to hear from Pastor Durbin in just a second. And then after that, I've got a second guest that I really want you to hear of. This is a lifelong teacher in California, Rebecca Friedrichs. She has been fighting the teacher unions, even though she's a member of it and served even in a leadership position, on things like political contributions, taking union workers' pay and going only to Democrats, these contributions. And now on vaccine and other mandates for students. She is on the front lines of trying to bring some sanity to this debate. And she's going to tell us what it's like when you're a teacher on the inside going up against your own union. She's done that, and you're going to love that interview as well. But first, let's have a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll be right here with Pastor Jeff Durbin in the extraordinary, alarming story, one that has imminent national security implications involving the Navy SEALs, right after this commercial break. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't, you'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. And as promised, a breaking and very important story happening today affecting the nation's security, the well-being of our Navy SEALs, the most elite of our special operators. And joining me right now is somebody who's representing a large number of the Navy SEALs. His name is Pastor Jeff Durbin. He is from Arizona, and he's been ministering to several hundred Navy SEALs who have been wrestling with the decision of whether to comply with the Pentagon's mandatory COVID vaccine. And a large number of these fighting men and women are concerned about the religious implications of the vaccine, the safety data that's kind of new and not complete yet. And they've been seeking religious exemptions and getting some very bad news. So joining us right now from Arizona is Pastor Jeff Durbin. Pastor, welcome to the show.
Thank you, John, for having me. Thank you for all you're doing to serve these men.
This is an extraordinary moment, and I wonder if you could just walk us through how a pastor serving his church in Arizona ends up with a whole bunch of Navy SEALs asking for his help. It's a pretty remarkable moment.
It is remarkable, and I'm humbled by it and in many ways terrified by it, and I'm concerned for the state of our nation. I'm concerned for the state of our government, and of course, I'm concerned for these men. These men, honestly, are our heroes. I mean, these men laid their lives down for us, for me, my wife, my kids, you, and they deserve our very best, and
Without
I'm
question.
Concerned about what they're dealing with right now. And so I got involved because our platform, Apologia, we have a lot of sermons, a lot of engagement, public debate, cultural engagement, and a lot of these men watch that. And I have a very close friend of mine, a solid pastor, who actually has one of these Navy SEALs in his church. And so as time has gone by the last couple of months, we've made some connections, and I've had time to counsel and listen to these men and offer them some spiritual and biblical guidance. I met with them face-to-face, and there's hundreds of Navy SEALs who are unvaccinated, who don't want to get vaccinated, and many who have already had COVID and beat it and have the natural immunity. And so there's a large portion of them that I'm speaking on behalf of as a minister of the gospel. I just want to make sure that this is the most important thing said. These are men who are committed to the Lordship of Christ. They're Christians. They're men of faith. They're committed to the gospel. They're committed to biblical principles and God's law. They're committed to love for their neighbor and the biblical principle of the preservation of human life. And that's what the concern is with this particular experimental vaccine, is that they are commanded to be concerned for the preservation of human life. And of course, John, as we would expect of Navy SEALs, these are our heroes and warriors. They're the best that we've got. They are very concerned with their oath that they put a hand to God about to defend and uphold the Constitution itself. And they see this as a violation of that oath. And they're doing that as Christians. They're concerned for their nation. They want, of course, their nation to know the same Savior that they have through faith. But this position they're in, John, is critical, because even with of religious exemption. So let's just say we grant that. I'm a believer in Christ. God's law is supreme. I need to love my neighbor. I'm concerned. The long-term data is suspicious. There isn't any. And the short-term data is alarming in some cases. And so I'm concerned about the preservation of human life. And that is my role as a Christian. First commandment is to love God. Second commandment is to love neighbor. And this is affecting my countrymen. And so they're concerned with their religious convictions. And so what they're being essentially told is this, John. They're being told that even with a legitimate religious exemption,
right,
they will no longer be deployable, which means they're no longer Navy SEALs.
Yeah. If you're not with your team, you're not a SEAL. I mean, the bond of the team is such important to the identity and the operations of a Navy SEAL team. So being kicked off the team is basically the end of their careers. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, John, it's the end of their careers. I mean, these men gave everything for us. I mean, laying their lives down in the sake of another. I mean, for them, that's the key thing, too. I'm the pastor here. I'm the minister of the gospel, and I'm listening to these men. That's the key thing, is there's no greater love than this. A man lays down his life for his friends. That's what these men do. That's the commitment that they've made, the ultimate sacrifice. And so that's I think, the premier issue here, is that these men are disciplined men. They're strong men. They're courageous men. They've given everything for the sake of their country, and they are consistent men. And that's, I think, the thing that should have been anticipated, John, in all this, is that you're talking about men who are men of faith in Christ. They're disciplined men. They're consistent men. These are the most brilliant men you will ever be around. If you get in a room full of Navy SEALs, let me tell you, you'll feel very small, because they are bright. They are
so
sharp.
True,
they are humble.
It?
They are respectful. They are fighters. And they're consistent. And so you would expect, if the government essentially violates the law of the land, lex rex, the historic Christian tradition of lex rex, right. Lex rex, the law is king. If they violate that, you would expect these consistent, disciplined warriors, who are the best that we've got, to say, "I have questions. Can I have some more time? Can we talk about this?" And that's essentially what they're asking for, John. Is there, what we need them to get is representation from their countrymen, from their congressmen, from everyone, to say, give these men more time to make their case and to reason through this, because they're not going to abandon their convictions. These are men who stand in front of bullets for me. They already made a commitment to die for me. And they understand there's more than one way to die for your country. It may mean losing their career as SEALs.
It's just amazing. Now, let's get the scope of how many are involved here. There's approximately, according to public reporting, about 2,500, when the Navy's full, about 2,500 Navy SEALs when every billet and job is a thing. Sometimes it drops down to as low as 2,200 in modern times. How many Navy SEALs are affected by this exemption, by the concern about the vaccine and its safety?
Yeah, John, I think you're right there. Those public numbers are accurate, is basic, as much as we can tell. But from what I know right now, there are hundreds of, wow, Navy SEALs who are resisting the vaccine mandate. They have questions. They need more time. They were given a deadline that's ultimately impossible to meet. And I'll say this, speaking for myself here as an American citizen, it's abusive. It's abusive to these men to give them the kind of timeline that they gave them and expect them to operate within that. And so, again, the timeline was given, and the timeline essentially came with this caveat, even with a religious exemption. Sure, you're not deployable. You're no longer SEALs. So we have hundreds of SEALs, Navy SEALs, who are essentially standing firm in their convictions as Christians, many of them, and to the Constitution. And they're saying, can't do that. And I am speaking on behalf of a large number of them who are going to be consistent. And the question that has to be asked, and I know that we're all probably thinking this, is what does this say about military readiness? If you're going to persecute Christians who have deeply held, sincere, legitimate Christian convictions, and say you're no longer going to be able to defend your country and be a Navy SEAL, what's it say about military readiness? What's that going to do to our military? If this is across the board in all branches, if we have these kinds of numbers represented, what's it say about what this does to our military readiness?
Yeah, this is a huge issue, a significant issue, and one that potentially days from now could be affecting our national security. That's what I'm hearing from experts all around the country who have heard about this. There are multiple people like you, other lawyers and others, who are being contacted and saying, hey, this isn't right. And what I hear is they're walking through a process, which is there's not enough data yet in the safety data to help me make an informed decision. And yeah, I know the government says it's safe, but the database shows there are some adverse reactions. I'm a man of faith. My faith tells me to treat my body like a temple of God, and therefore don't do anything rash to harm your body. And so they're trying to reconcile it. And yet I'm a Navy SEAL that has given their entire life to protecting our country. I can't speak publicly about my concerns because we have a code of silence. And so I'm looking for some time. It sounds like one of the things that they're asking for is a 90-day window to have some more conversation, get more data going with their supervisors. Does that sound right to you?
Yes, sir. John, you're right. And it's asking also, please, everybody, contact Congress, contact your congressman, your woman, and let them know that we need to support these men, and we need to give them representation, and we need to allow them to have time to reason through this. And John, you're exactly right. See, the key thing here, and I think people need to hear this because it's a large part of the argument, perhaps against their position. People might say something to the effect of, well, you know, you're a Navy SEAL. You take all kinds of vaccines to go into combat, to be deployed. And of course, everyone needs to grant that. Yes. Right. But we have to also recognize the distinction between that, which is the case and is true, and this. This is something that's an experimental vaccine with no long-term safety data. That's an irrefutable fact, John. I know everyone has to just grant that. It's an irrefutable fact that there's no long-term safety data. Why? Because we just got them. And so this isn't anti-vaxxers. This isn't sort of a collection of Navy SEALs who are just anti-vaxxers. They're not. They've been vaccinated up and down. And the issue is long-term safety data. The short-term safety data on these vaccines, more and more is coming out constantly. It's showing some pretty concerning things that we're not going to go into all this now on the show, but there's some destructive things that they're concerned with. And so this is the issue. It's not about them as Navy SEALs receiving a vaccine that has long-term safety data or whatever. This is about them being concerned for their wives, their children, their countrymen. And so this goes broader than the Navy SEALs just being asked to take a vaccine for themselves to deploy and to give up their lives for their country. This is something that actually is affecting their countrymen, and that's their commitment. They commit to die for their country. And again, this is the key issue. For these men that I'm speaking on behalf of, these men have first and foremost an allegiance as believers to the Lordship of Christ, to his gospel, to his kingdom, to his law, to biblical principles. And the biblical principle, the key issue here for them, is love for my neighbor demands of me that I be concerned here with something that is a federal or national mandate being pushed across me, my family, and everybody else that could end up harming them. How do I know that it won't? I don't know. I don't have enough long-term data. And again, these are sharp men. We expect them to use their minds, to be sharp, to be courageous, to be disciplined. They're using all that the military expects of them. They're using those things, those critical skills, and they're coming to the conclusion, I can't do this. And this is one thing I want to say, John, it's so important, and then I'll shut up here. This is key. These men are the silent warriors. They're the silent professionals. They don't want attention. They don't want to speak for themselves. I'm a pastor who knows their situation. I am trying to advocate for them and speak on their behalf because they can't speak for themselves, nor do they even want to. They're the silent professionals. These are the guys that are more disciplined than any of us.
Yes,
they respect their chain of command. They respect their government. They honor their government, but they also honor their true king, which is Christ. And this is key. If there is no transcendent law above government, then government is now God, and they can't abide by that.
It is a remarkable thing, because some of the data sets, right? It's young men particularly that have seen some of the cardiomyopathy and other issues of reaction that occurred in the heart. So these are young men. Second of all, these men are in probably the best shape of anyone in the world, right? These are men that can stay underwater for minutes at a time because they have such incredible vascular and cardio training. So they're probably lower risk of dying of COVID. And they're also fall into a category where there are more adverse events being reported than other people older like my age don't have as many adverse events. Does all of that kind of weigh into this? First off, their risk factor for dying is low, right?
Yeah, it's a large community. You're exactly right, John. Is their risk factor is very low, and this is a key thing too. And I think this is the thing that's most troubling to me personally. I'm troubled by the fact that many of these men have already had COVID and they beat it. Yep. This very narrow vaccine tries to mimic what natural immunity does. They already have it.
And
what they're
being
asked to do is they're being asked to put something into their body that is very questionable. They need more time. They need to see the safety data. They're very concerned with what they're seeing as it stands, and I think all of us should be. And so they have a right to reason within that and say, hey, look, there's even studies, government websites and solid data, reputable sources from respected people that say if I've already had COVID and I've beaten it, to get the vaccine could be harmful. And what's the point? because this is a very narrow vaccine. I've already had it. I have a robust immunity and a very strong robust immunity even to the variants. I can do very well. That's what the data is showing. Yeah. They see that. They know that. And they're concerned about the health of their neighbors.
Pretty remarkable moment. Hundreds of people of our best trained military fighters, literally the elitist, the best of the best. And you have a situation where they may all be offline in just a few days. You, as someone who prays for the soul of the nation and the security of this nation, how nervous does it make you think that some of our best could be sidelined without a resolution in the next couple of days?
John, I thank you for asking that question, because I just want to say, as a minister, we're pretty busy as it is. Of course, we're concerned for our nation, but we're involved in a lot of different ministries. I'm very concerned for these men. I'm very concerned about what it means for our country. These men, I feel like we owe them everything. And this being perpetrated upon them, I'm horrified by. And I'm concerned about what it means for a nation that was started, and this is indisputable, based upon Christian principles, the Christian worldview. I mean, many of the blessings of liberty and justice and freedom and those things, I mean, those things came to us as gifts from ultimately the Christian worldview, as the descendants of the Covenanters came over and the Huguenots and all of those that came over. Like, this was Christian worldview stuff, and it's embedded there everywhere in the beginning of these documents that they swore an oath to. So these are Christian men, upholding an oath to something that comes from Christian principles and the Christian worldview, and now they're being persecuted for their Christian beliefs. And that is horrifying. We're in a state of the nation at the moment where a nation that was birthed out of Christian principles and Christian ideas, this nation now is turning on the very principles and the system and the gospel itself that gave us those things. And these men, these courageous, amazing warriors and heroes who give everything for us, they're right now at the tip of the spear, even of this fight. That's key. They're always at the tip of the spear for the fights that matter. And here's a fight that matters.
It's pretty amazing to see this play out. And it's going to be essential that the Pentagon take the right steps here to protect our country and to listen to these men. So I just want to understand. So you have this group of soldiers that watch your church online. They're deployed all over the world. They get their faith and their weekly faith and opportunity to engage in fellowship through your church. And then they start reaching out to you, and you realize they have this greater need, and that's how you get involved. Now, when you step back and you take a look at what's going on here, this is a community that deals with a high suicide rate. It deals with a large amount of stress and injury, right? These are some of the guys that get injured. We never hear about them because they are the silent warriors. The larger community of SEALs, what sort of faith and engagement levels do they need? What do people in the faith world need to do to better support these warriors?
Oh, good question. I'm glad you asked that, John. We need to be praying for the Navy SEALs. A significant number of them are believers. They love Jesus. They love their families. They love their country. A significant number of them, and I know a lot of them are just strong men who meant the oath that they took. They held it up, and they are suffering right now. These men, I want everyone to know, these men are truly struggling right now. Their families are struggling right now. So first and foremost, I think we need to pray for them. We definitely need to pray for them. That's not just a pithy thing, you know, of course, say prayers for Navy SEALs. No, legitimately pray for them. Pray for their families. This takes a tremendous amount of courage for these men to do, because these are the silent warriors. They're the silent professionals. They don't come out and use the trident for personal gain and to come out, and they just can't do it. They won't do it. And yet here they are, our very best, suffering. Their families are really suffering. We need to pray for them. Pray for God's strength in their life. Pray they keep their eyes on Christ. And pray also for the men who are within the SEAL community who are not as of yet believers, but they're just strong, courageous warriors who mean it when they make oaths. Pray for them that they would. I'm a minister of the gospel. They would see Christ and trust in Him for forgiveness, for salvation, but also trust Him for courage and strength to fight this battle that they are. Pray for the SEAL community at large. I mean this when I say it. My involvement in this is because I do believe that the stand that they're making is courageous. It is necessary. It is meaningful. These are brothers in Christ, and I want to support them. But also, just like I said, this is so meaningful because in terms of battles that are fought for our nation, for our liberty, for our life, these men, they do that. They're at the front. And now these Navy SEALs are at the very front of the fight against this unconstitutional mandate.
Unbelievable. Really remarkable. One last thing, because I know in this world, once you become in the front and center of an important story like this, people dig up everything that ever happened, right down to when you sneezed and when you stubbed your toe. But back a few years ago, there was a little bit of a controversy because you argued that abortion should be treated as murder under the law. And of course, some people interpret that to say that, well, under many states, murder is punishable by execution. Now, recently, the Pope himself, the Catholic Pope, Pope Francis, said that he believed that abortion was murder and homicide. He didn't get nearly as much controversy as you did, but I just want to see for people who are going to hear that drug up.
I'm not as popular, yeah.
Or maybe the media is just not as even-handed. I don't know. But for those who may have heard about this or are going to hear about this, how do you address this? I mean, are you really advocating you'd like to see women executed? What's really the controversy in your response to it?
Well, it's interesting, John, because the controversy, I think within this generation, seems like a controversy. Or can be used as a controversy, but in the long-standing historic Christian tradition based upon God's law, we have, from the beginning of the church, literally from the beginning, fought against abortifacients, against infanticide, and Christians historically have seen the unjust taking of human life as murder. We see, of course, it's an indisputable biblical and biological fact that what is in the womb from the moment of conception is human life. And so if the unjustified killing of a human life is murder, defined by God and, of course, by even our law in America, then, of course, we would say abortion is murder. And with what the work that we're doing, we're not only out of the abortion mills, giving people the gospel, offering them the hope of life and forgiveness and peace in Christ, but we're offering to adopt their children. We're offering to pay for anything they need, to care for their needs. And we've saved thousands and thousands and thousands of babies at abortion clinics across the country through that work. But yes, we're also working on the legislative piece. And this year, John, I think it's 5 states we've been working in with bills of equal protection. That's right. What we're working for, equal protection. What's in the womb is human from conception. We want equal protection for all human beings to be treated justly the same. That means if you're white, you're black, no matter what color you are, no matter what size you are, your level of development, we want every human to be treated with equal protection, which means, of course, as was just the case in Ireland, they're one of the last standing Christian nations before it flipped, that considered abortion murder, as was the case in most of the states in the Union. Abortion was seen as murder, and on the books right now in many, many states across our Union, abortion is still considered homicide. Many people are under the false impression that Roe versus Wade created law. Congress creates law in our nation, not the Supreme Court. Roe is not law. Joe Biden understands that because he says he now wants to codify Roe into law. So with that, my perspective is not actually very controversial at all in historic Christian tradition or even in our own tradition in this country. Abortion was seen as homicide. That's what we believe that it is. Mm-hmm. And we believe that, it should go into the homicide code of the state.
And you've been open about and very strong in your conviction working on anti-abortion efforts for a long time. And so it should be surprised no one. But people are going to hear this. It's almost certainly going to get dragged up because that's what happens in today's thing. And that's why we thought we'd let our listeners hear directly from you where you come from. And
I truly appreciate you doing that, my friend. And let me just say, if somebody wants to debate this issue with me, I'd be happy to do a public debate over the issue. Yeah. You can have Don Lemon ask me.
That would be a good debate. That'd be a big debate. So
I'll be there with bells on.
There you go. Well, listen, the most important thing you're doing right now is ministering to these extraordinary Navy SEALs, these men who give everything to serve their country and have the utmost in integrity. We see it day in and day out, though we often don't hear of their heroism. We know they're there, and they're the silent warriors that keep us protected. And it sounds like today they need our support in a very special way.
Yes, sir. And John, may I just offer my gratitude to you for doing what you're doing right now to serve these men. Thank you.
Oh, it's an honor to tell the truth. That's the most important thing you can do in life, and this is an important story. So, Pastor, we're going to check in with you in the next few days because this is obviously a breaking story. It's evolving, and we'll want to stay in contact with you since you're on the front lines of one of the most important debates in our country right now.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. God bless you, and we'll have you back on the show soon.
God bless you.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we've got a really fun story about cancel culture in the schools. Stay tuned right after this. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. And as promised, a very special guest, somebody who's been a rebel rouser challenging the status quo in the education circles where teachers' unions have had enormous say over policy and the experience that children get every day in the classrooms. And if you haven't heard of her name, you should have, because the Supreme Court even knows her name. She was one of the most important plaintiffs in a landmark case that was brought into the Supreme Court back in 2016, I believe it was, Friedrichs versus California Teachers Association. Joining us right now is a teacher, an activist, and somebody who's got an amazing story to tell, Rebecca Friedrichs. Rebecca, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
I love people that challenge the status quo, because so often we'll sit around and say, oh, that's terrible, but I don't have time to deal with it. And you've not been that person. You have seen the potential dangers that the teachers' unions are doing when they have so much unilateral say, and you really tried to make a difference. Talk a little bit about your history. You're a teacher and a former union member and union officer. Why did you challenge the teachers' unions in California?
Well, I challenged the teachers' unions because I watched as they literally destroyed my profession. They brought damage to the students. They literally undermine our free republic by ruining the great educational system that our founders set up for us. So I watched as a teacher. I taught 28 years. I would still be there if it wasn't for the unions. I had to leave to fight them more. And my husband, a 42-year educator, and wow. we were so fed up with these so-called teachers unions who do not represent any of us, but forced us to pay them for over 40 years. So we decided, look, you know, we had the opportunity to sue them to stop forced unionism, and we thought, that's a great idea. We should have a voice. So that's why we sued them.
It's an amazing thing. And that case ended up in a weird moment. It's very rare in history that we have a 4-4 deadlock, but we did because Justice Scalia had died during the middle of the case and there wasn't a replacement yet. But it set a standard in a dialogue and a debate in America that's still going on today, and that is the right to work. Do you have to really be in a teacher's union to enjoy the benefits and protections of a union? Do you have to pay political dues? All of that was brought to light, and a lot of governors and states are embracing the right to work philosophy even more because of your incredible work. Now, you have a second concern that's more current right now. It's in the news every day, and that is COVID and whether young students should get the vaccine. Tell us what you've been doing on that front.
Well, we've just been trying to educate people. I think most people know at this point that children don't carry the COVID or they don't spread it. They have a 99 plus survival rate. My own son had the COVID in my own house. None of us caught it from him. It was kind of like a mild cold. You know, wow. He was aching for a couple days. He was forced to take 2 weeks off of work. He ended up working on his truck because he was bored out of his mind. So these young people aren't really that impacted by it. But here we have school boards. In this case, I'm in California, LAUSD. Right. 6 board members have decided the medical fate of 600,000 children. So my question is, since when did school boards and the so-called teachers unions become medical experts and the legal guardians of our children? So there's a huge overstep here. They're way out of their lane. So that's what we're fighting is, hey, you know, parents are the ones who have the right to raise their children, make medical decisions and educational decisions for their children, not school boards and teachers unions.
Yeah. And that's the point here, right? You're not trying to be anti-vaccine or pro-vaccine. You just want to leave the power where it's always been intended, with a parent, their doctor, and their child to make the best decision for their child, right?
Absolutely. Children are individuals, and it's just like their education. They should have the right to choose the education that's right for their child. I know people whose children who have had vaccine injuries. So obviously those parents aren't going to want to get another vaccine. And then I know, like my son, who has natural immunities. Why would he go get a vaccine when he has natural immunities to this illness? So there's a lot of individual reasons that parents make choices for their individual children. And like I said, a so-called teachers union and 6 board members shouldn't be making those decisions for all the children in America.
Now, what's the reaction been, first inside of your profession and then outside the profession, to your efforts to challenge these mandates that school boards and unions are imposing?
Yeah, teachers are desperate. When teachers are honest behind the scenes, you know, they can't speak out or they get bullied by the union that claims to represent them. I know teachers who are, they're terrified right now. They don't want to take the shot for various reasons, and they know they're going to lose their jobs. I have teacher friends in LAUSD who know that if they don't take a shot, I think it's October when my friend told me she has to take a shot by October, then she's going to lose her job. And so she's trying to decide, okay, do I stay and make them fire me so I have a lawsuit or so I can get unemployment? She has children she's raising and needs to feed. So teachers are afraid. Parents are afraid. Children are afraid. So since when did our educational system become this fear-mongering? Since when did we decide that our schools were supposed to be medical facilities and a coercive, tyrannical government control over families? That's the problem that's going on the inside, is these folks don't have a voice. The unions claim to speak for every teacher. They do not. They do not even speak for the majority. They speak for the activists that they've planted in the schools. And most other teachers are very frustrated by them.
So there are a lot of teachers themselves that don't want to get the vaccine for various reasons, health reasons, religious reasons, whatever. And there are teachers that really want the children and their parents to make this decision, not the unions and school boards. And that's not being represented by the unions right now. Is that what you're telling me?
That's absolutely right. So the unions, I'm sure you know, they made their little backroom deal with the CDC, the teachers' unions did, right, to make sure that the mask mandates continued and that the school closures continued. Every single teacher I know was against keeping the schools closed. Every single teacher I know, they're good teachers.
Yeah, they want to be there and help children.
Exactly. They want to educate. And so their union is using them as pawns and telling the culture, telling the world that teachers agree with this nonsense. They don't. Good teachers don't. Union activist teachers do. They're not real teachers. But real teachers are very disturbed by this. They know that they're called to teach these children to read, to write, to do arithmetic, to learn accurate history. And they know that these unions are undermining all of that and now undermining their health. So, yeah, teachers are disturbed, very concerned. And unfortunately, a lot of the great ones are leaving the profession over it.
It's just amazing to think of what this is like on the inside. When we see it on the outside, right, it does look like there's this monolith that all teachers are speaking with one voice. But in fact, the second you get away from the unions and you get down into the real world and into the real classrooms at the real schools, you realize that these teachers' unions often have an agenda that's aligned with a national movement and not necessarily with those who they are entrusted to represent. And I find this so fascinating every time I watch this. You've done a lot of writing. You've done activism with the Mackinac Center and other places. What would you recommend to other teachers who, like you, finally got fed up with the system and said, I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm going to go out there. How does a teacher step up against, you know, what is a lot of resistance? I'm sure you met a lot of resistance when you first became outspoken to the union's agenda.
Yeah, I met a ton. Just to give your listeners an example, when I was lead plaintiff of our case, Friedrichs versus California Teachers Association, the number one question people asked me was, are you afraid for your life?
No kidding.
The second most common question was, are you afraid for your job? And then after Scalia died, a month after our case was heard, and we knew we'd convinced him, we knew he was voting in our favor, we knew we were going to win with a 5-4, even the New York Times admitted it. And then he died a month into it. Then the question became most current or most common question to this day, do you think the unions killed him? So if people think this way about the unions, they're that terrified. Imagine how terrified a government employee, a teacher is on the inside trying to stand up to this massive Goliath. So my advice to them is you need to stand together. Get together. There aren't going to be very many teachers that will stand with you at first. They're too scared. Get community members, parents, pastors, whoever in your community to stand with you. Start educating teachers, because once they learn the truth, they won't want to be a part of these unions. Our case ended up in a tie, but thank God another case was built on our case and it won in 2018. No one has to pay these unions anymore.
Yep.
So don't pay them. And you can go to our website for kidsincountry.org. We teach you how to opt out. We walk you through it. We have work with organizations that will give you a lawyer if you get harassed. So there's no reason not to do it. And just really quick, I want folks to know, people might not realize this. The National Education Association actually rewrote the scientific method. They removed empirical evidence and the repeated steps of the scientific process and changed it to scientific theory and consensus. And then they only take the consensus of their friends, their allies on their side, and they ignore real scientists. So this is a twisted science that the politicians are using to force these vaccines on people. And teachers need to know that you're funding this. So if you don't stand up against it, you're complicit in the problem. So once you learn, you got to stand up and be brave and do what's right for the kids.
Yeah, such an important story. Doing what's right for the people that you're there to serve. It seems like over the last 10 years, that concept has been lost so much in the debate. But because of people like you with the courage to speak out, it's now front and center again. Where does the vaccine mandate battle go? You're working hard on it. Other people are working hard on it. There are lawsuits out there. Tell us where this goes over the next few months. And if you're a concerned parent, a concerned teacher, a concerned student, what should you be looking for?
Wow. Well, I think people need to, you know, if you don't have knowledge, if you don't have understanding, if you don't know history, you don't recognize what's going on here. So this is government overreach. This is tyranny. And so we need to think back to what happened in Nazi Germany. People were forced to take experimented medical procedures they didn't want that harmed them. So we had the Nuremberg trials and we came up with the Nuremberg Code. It is currently illegal for our government to be forcing experimental vaccines on us. So let's start there. It's illegal. So don't fall for it. Stand on your rights and the fact that this is illegal and immoral. And then there are so many organizations that are standing with parents. I don't know all of them by heart, but I know that America's Frontline Doctors is helping people with this specific issue. And I also know that Liberty Council is helping people bring lawsuits if they're being forced. Yeah, and I know there's more than that. Those are just the two I can think of. So there's a lot of options out there. There's a lot of resources. Whatever you do, don't cave. Don't give up. What they want to do is cause confusion and cause you to give up and get discouraged. We can't. We're so close to winning in a lot of areas, and if we give up, we won't win. So we just have to stand up and stand together and keep on fighting.
Such an important concept, and one that has been proven time and again, when people stand their ground and on principle and follow the law and go through the process, they almost always prevail.
That's so true.
We sometimes forget about it in today's world. Rebecca, this is such an interesting storyline. We've got to keep on top of this. I hope to get you back in the next couple of weeks or within a month or so and just track how we're doing on all of these big issues.
That'd be great. I'd love it.
It's an honor to have you on the show, too. Thank you so much for what you've done to teach so many generations of children.
Thank you. My honor.
God bless you.
God bless you too.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up for the day. Hey, folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you got to do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD Gold. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 Gold. Or visit them at GenesisGoldGroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family. All right, folks, that wraps up a very busy, big breaking news show here at John Solomon Reports and Just the News. For more details on that Navy SEAL story that we just talked about with Pastor Durbin, go to justthenews.com. We've got several of the Navy SEAL's lawyers on the record. We've got many people talking about this, even Eric Greitens, retired Navy SEAL, former Missouri governor, current U.S. Senate candidate. He talks about the long-term implications of this. Is a big, big deal, consequential deal playing out in American news right now. All right. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of John Solomon Reports. I think we're going to have Senator Ron Johnson on the show. We'll sure be asking him about the Navy SEAL issue, as well as so many of the other important work he's been doing on holding the Biden administration, the United States government, to account for things they're doing that don't make sense to us everyday Americans. So hopefully tomorrow we'll have Senator Ron Johnson on the show. Until then, God bless you, and God bless this amazing country, the United States, as he always has. You've been listening to John Solomon Reports, a podcast from Just the News. Folks, everyone knows the next medical crisis is just around the corner. Whether it comes in the form of a pandemic or something much more mundane like a tick bite, you and your family need to be prepared. That's what we learned from this last pandemic, right? That's where the Wellness Company comes in. You know the Wellness Company. We have their great doctors like Dr. Peter McCullough on all the time on our shows. The Wellness Company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust. And the new medical emergency kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy, and most importantly, prepared. Be ready for anything. This medical emergency kit contains an assortment of life-saving medications, including ivermectin and Z-Pak. The medical emergency kit provides a guidebook to aid in the safe use of all of these life-saving medications, so you know what you're doing. From anthrax to tick bites to COVID and even the bioweapon like the plague, the Wellness Company's medical emergency kit is exactly what you need to have on hand to be prepared. Rest assured knowing that you have emergency antibiotics, antivirals, and antiparasitics on hand to keep you and your family safe from whatever the globalists throw your way. Go to www.twchealth.com/justnews today in order. That's twc.health/justnews and use the promo code justnews to save 10%. Hey folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you got to do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD Gold. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family.